for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, July the 3rd, 2000. This is a summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Ruth Wilson, wife of Colonel Speed Wilson, is the speaker of the morning. Haven't met Ruth. This is Speed's wife, Ruth Wilson. And she's ministered here at the ladies' meeting. And I told her that I expected her to have a service or two here while she was here. And you're going to be blessed by her teaching. Amen.
Thank you, Tim. Of course, I wondered what the Lord would have me talk about. And I think every time anybody comes, they seek the Lord what He wants Him to say. And He has me back on the thing that He's taught me in all along, the Feast of Tabernacles. But it is a now thing, so I don't feel that I am going over old ground in one sense, because we haven't really kept that feast as a body yet. And then Glenn always wants you to have a title. And I was praying about that, and I had this sense of progressing unto holiness, unto glory.
Amen. That's good.
And you were praying and singing this morning about the glory over and over. And you know, I've heard all my walk with the Lord, He'll not share His glory. Well, yes, that's true, but no, it's not. Because in Hebrews it said, the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And I'm earth, you're earth. And it's through this earth that the waters is going to flow out to cover the land and all. So I was praying back there and said, Lord, how do you want me to begin? I feel that my cup runneth over, you know. We're so full, as you said, it is so blessed. We have started this camp meeting where other times we've left off. So already we're full, but I said, oh, well, Lord, if it's running over, then there's more that we can put in the space that's run over. So it can run over, and we can continue to have a time of running over. So in that feast of ingathering or tabernacles, I had a sense of kind of going back and getting some groundwork, which you all know, but I don't think it hurts to repeat some things sometimes. And I also, when I was here in February and was so blessed to be with the ladies then, that I was sharing that I had had an occasion to have to seek the Lord because of a very traumatic situation that I'd had, of a massive blood clot in my leg, and it put me down literally and made me be quiet and be still and really listen. So I was in the hospital for 6 days, and then I didn't hear a word. But then after a while, I was reading Romans 8, and there, how many times have I read Romans 8? But like Frank was saying, He quickens our mortal body. And I saw that. And then I said, okay, Lord, I know I did wrong with my body, sins of omission and commission, but what are you really saying? And then He took me to the not discerning the body of Christ. You know, in the Corinthians 11, where it talks about, Paul talks about the bread broken for many and the blood, and that many sleep because they don't discern the body of Christ. And I thought, Lord, what are you really saying here? And Jesus says, now do this in remembrance of me. And then I started thinking of the body of Christ, that we are all members. And then it came to me in Corinthians, it says we're all one loaf. So He wants to remember the loaf. He wants to put this member to that member in the remembrance. It just sort of opened an understanding to me of the remembrance that I hadn't thought about. because joint has to come to joint.
That's right.
I don't know how you feel, but I am speaking for the brethren, for the body of Christ. It seems to me that he's quickened to me that there's so much tradition, so much compromise in the Word today. We have this denomination and that denomination. They all have a little bit of the truth. But he wants us to bring us into one with Christ as the head. You cannot have one head and multiple body. If you do, you're going to be in confusion, and we would be in dis-ease, lack of ease. So there's no wonder there's a lot of dis-ease in the body of Christ. Because we haven't come together. We haven't been willing to submit. And I was an arch person of that. I lived through the time of the so-called submission doctrine. And the truth is there. But what they did with the truth was horrible.
You're right.
And this is what we do often. God reveals the truth, and then we decide what he meant, or we're going to improve on it. Well, he didn't really mean this. Maybe he meant that. Well, that day's got to go. There has to be a unity. You know, in Ephesians, I hope I can find it real quickly, Father, but I am so impressed with the reality and the need to have come back into the fullness of what the Lord has for us here. Here we are. Quickly, Lord. It's Ephesians 4, and the first verse, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, praise God, that we are, in a sense, prisoners, but it's a voluntary prisonership. We are bondservants, but we do it with joy and thanksgiving. We are bought with a price, and we don't want to struggle against it, but we want to say yea and amen, Lord. But he says in here that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, and endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even are you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, is above all and through all and in you all. So we can't have all these differences that now, these divisions that are here. Now, each denomination received a truth. What one brother said is they, it was like a rut they got in, and they refused to go on. Now, Martin Luther, as we know, restored faith, the just shall live by faith, and then the baptism, water baptism, and then sanctification with Wesley, and then the healings and the laying on of hands, as we know all these. And they were restoration truths, but they built a tombstone to that doctrine of truth, and they refused to hear the next revelation.
Right.
So it was, as we know, we were talking, as you said, and praise God, that the cross and what he did. But do we really believe it? I mean, do I really believe that I am dead unto the world and the world unto me? You know, when I was reading Romans 8, how many times does one read Romans 8? But that morning, Steve was off the post office, and when he came home, I could hardly contain myself. I was so, oh, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us
free
from the sin and death. Okay, we can handle the sin part. But when you come to talking about the death part, you really get obstacles in your thought, your own thought. But that's what the Word says. It is, either it is what he says it is, or it's not. So, even beginning with Passover, have we really kept that feast? Do we really believe that we are dead with him and alive unto God? That is a law as immutable as the law of gravity. It's a law of the Spirit of life. But then on we come into Pentecost, and we know Passover, they came out of Egypt. But with Pentecost, they came out of the world there. But with Pentecost, he wants to get the world out of us. Amen. So it is a progressive walk unto holiness, unto righteousness. He says, you've not walked this way before. You know, it's a new way. And they were so protected in the wilderness. They had that cloud, and they had the cloud and the fire. Praise. Thank you. And the manna, everything was supplied. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. And then they grumbled against the manna, and oh, this horrible manna. And so they got the quails, and you know what happened with that. And then it tells us in Corinthians 10 that we shouldn't murmur as they did in the wilderness, and how murmuring can really hold you back. And, you know, I've heard so many wonderful prophetic words about the things that are coming of revival and restoration. The Lord is quickening me about the RE things, restoration, redemption, revival, all these things, responsibility, and all these re things. But the sense I have right now, and boy, am I ever subject to hear a new word, but my understanding is much of that is going to be the fulfillment of Pentecost, because we have it in measure, the Spirit. But he wants to fulfill us. And as our dear brother Frank said, the Lord spoke to him, I want you to walk in Isaiah 61 and in Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And I think it's a word for every one of us. It is now. I cannot tell you how the now word jumps out at me in the Scripture. You can't have something tomorrow, because when you get tomorrow, it's going to be today. And today is the day of salvation. And they did not believe our Lord God in the wilderness. And he said they had an evil heart of unbelief because they didn't mix the word with faith.
That's right.
And it's a now thing. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Now. That's what I'm trying to, myself, I keep talking to myself, so when I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself. But let's not miss it as they did in the wilderness. He's calling for a people, a generation. And I have said, because of my age, I have said from the beginning, I'm going to be one of the Joshuas and the Calebs.
Come on.
I'm going to go in.
By
the grace and mercy of God. And he is restoring our souls. And you know, Psalm 93, they often do it at funerals, and I think, to me, that's a psalm of life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He restoreth my soul. He gives me rest by the still waters. Jesus said, it is finished. He did everything when he died on that cross that we need. And as you were praying this morning, and as the word came forth from our dear sister, Reba, back there, we have to do our part. We have, you know, what is that expression for you? Suit up and get up and...
Shape up or ship out.
Yes. That's a good... Shape up or ship out. That's the word.
That's it.
But, you know, in the wilderness, the Lord moved just as slowly as the... least one wanted to go. But the time is coming, like the eagles and the eaglets. She'll stir up the nest and she'll throw the one baby out and let it just flutter and scream and holler, but she'll catch it. Until such a time, she repeats and repeats and repeats until she sees that this one will not do it. And the poor little thing falls, and that's it. And he would not have any to perish. I just cannot tell you how strongly that is in my spirit today. That he is moving. And he doesn't want anybody to perish. But you have to move with him now.
That's right. That's it.
The day is over when we can sit back and every day know, well, I'll do that tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I was a great procrastinator, I'm sorry to say. I had the scarlet syndrome, you know. I'll think of that tomorrow. But he's quickening me so much to even the littlest things not to put it off. If I have something in my hand, instead of putting it down, now this is about as simple as you can get, put it where it belongs. And that is a principle. Put it where it belongs. We cannot procrastinate any longer. And when they crossed, then the day came, the story of coming out. As we know, they sent the spies into the land, and 10 came back with this report. We can't possibly do this, no matter what you say. Well, Joshua and Caleb had a different report, and there was giants in the land. Well, there's still going to be giants in the land. But we have, by the grace and mercy of God, He has given us that which is necessary to overcome the giants in this land as well as in that land. And unless the giants are overcome in this land, you will not be an instrument to be used to overcome the giants in that land. For, of course, the kingdom of God is within you. And it starts here. And if you don't shape up, He can't use you. He wants to. He's done everything. Everything. It is finished. It is a total, complete work. But we have to appropriate it and walk in it. Now, I always loved the way, they crossed the Jordan, because the typology is so important there. The water stood up, the same as it did the Red Sea, but you rarely hear anybody talk about this. And I heard a dear brother teaching, and it said the waters, it was in flood stage, but still it stood up way back to the town called Adam. Guess what? Isn't that old Adam nature was going to be done away with for sure? Mm-hmm. Coming out of the world out of you now. So there, the priest took the ark, 2,000 cubits ahead, as we know. And I like the King James to study with, because some of the others have done a very nice job of translation. I'm not putting them down. But they change the cubits into terms, and you lose some of the significance of the numberings when you lose the cubits. So, but they went in and stood there while they all passed over in this flood stage of the Jordan. And remember, they took the stones and they buried them in there, and then they took new stones and put them out over here. Well, that, of course, every time you talk about typology, there can be numerous thoughts of typology. But one is, they went out of the land, individual tribes. But when they came in as a nation. And I think that speaks volumes to us, that we go in as individuals and we came out as a body. And the first thing they did was to, the Lord spoke to them and said that you have to, 3 days, and they were going to be circumcised again, those that had not been circumcised in the wilderness. To me, that speaks of the circumcision of the heart, the true circumcision. And that is what the Lord would have for us today, a true cutting away of the flesh man, a true circumcision of the heart. And then we know the captain of the host appeared, and he said, Joshua said, are you for us or are you against us? And then they knew the captain of the host of heaven was for them. But then was when the manna quit and they ate the old corn of the land, and then is when the battle started. Now, we think we've had lots of battles, and we have. Those were all battles with our flesh. But now they're battles of a different nature. When He can trust us to be His ministers, and then we know all the stories about Jericho and Ai, and they tried to take the things, and we know that the giants were in the land. And so I won't go into that, but I just wanted to emphasize, we need to keep Passover and Pentecost thoroughly in order to be candidates to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Some years ago, I was privileged to speak about some of these things clear down in Georgia quite a few years ago. And I asked the Lord what He wanted me to talk on. And it was Hebrews 6, let us go on into perfection. Mm-hmm. And, that is such an important time. I've meditated on that. I'm sure you have too many times. Because in there, it's talking about Jesus And then the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, it talks about the last few verses in 5. But he says, called of God, 5:10, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Now, we don't want to be dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Well, right there, you know that you are having to discern between the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because they are absolutely mutually exclusive. You can't mix them. There's been so much mixture, so much compromising, and the day of mixture is over. He's going to have a true word. I was reading Jude the other day, the faith once delivered to the saints. And you know, it began right from the beginning. Look at all those. It was jumping off the page at me. You know, when he starts to teach you in a certain area, all of a sudden you see all these things you've gone over and they become life to you. But the number of things in Timothy and in Jude and in Peter, Paul talking to Peter in Galatians, of mixture of all these things that were already being brought in to muddy up the waters of the fullness of what Jesus had done in his death, burial, and resurrection, of coming. Paul keeps warning you about them. Peter kept warning about them. So if it began clear back there, what do we think that we may have by now? But I wanted to go on to 6:1 of Hebrews. Therefore, leaving the principles and the doctrines of Christ, when I started studying this, and let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead work, of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. In other words, we have to be established in these principles and doctrines of Christ. When I started to study them, I thought, well, that's all I've ever heard anybody preach on. Really, primarily, not that they're not good. Now, don't misunderstand me. But if it's called milk, what about the bread and the meat?
Come on, man.
So he's calling us on now. And as I said, when I started studying those, I thought, my goodness. Well, he so quickened me the repentance of dead works. Because when he showed me how much I had dwelt in the knowledge of the tree of knowledge and good and evil rather than the tree of life. Because we have strongholds in our minds, and the only way those strongholds can be torn down is if we will believe what God says we are in Christ. Another, renewing our mind. I was speaking one time, and it came out from here. And I heard the Spirit say through me, the true arrogance is not saying what God says you are in Christ Jesus. Because you know you start to say that, they'll say, boy, aren't you the arrogant one? Mm-hmm. And the true meekness is saying what God says you are. Mm-hmm. And the true arrogance is not saying mm-hmm. what God says you are in Christ. How he has a way of flipping things, doesn't he? But it was such a gracious thing to me. I said, oh, hallelujah, Lord, yes, yes. That is the true word, isn't it? Some many years ago, Speed was in Vietnam. I remember lots of times things that I heard different places where he was. You know how you hear a word, you know it's a word of the Lord. Even though you've read it, it becomes life word to you. But I was in a group, and he showed me that the commandments were promises. And I said, oh boy, that sure puts it in a different place. Because the day will come that you will love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy mind and with all thy soul and with all thy strength, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. And you will not covet. You will not steal. You will not commit adultery. But it's a promise. That's it in Romans 8, you know, when he's talking there about law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has overcome the law of sin and death. It goes on to say what the law could not do, but Jesus coming in the flesh fulfilled the law. So he didn't do away with it. He fulfilled it. So there's the promise. That is the absolute promise of it all. But then all these things, as I studied them, as I told you, and then I started to pray, oh God, can I go on? I don't want to stay in the milk any longer. I thank you for the milk. You don't want to feed a baby anything but milk. But I said, I want to grow up. Can I start at least having some bread? You know. So I started hearing this about how much we've compromised, how much mixture there is. And he started showing me that, and I have prayed and prayed about the coming together of bone unto its bone.
Yes.
You know, Ezekiel talks about bone unto the bone and the flesh, and they stood up a mighty army. Well, I know that's one category, but I don't think it's necessarily separate from the body of Christ that he's trying to bring us forth. And in 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. Now, man God uses, like John baptized Jesus, and John said, you should baptize me, but he said, I do this to fulfill all righteousness. But then he was led by the Spirit immediately into the desert to be tested. And how did Jesus respond? He said, the living Word, the Word made flesh, still said, it is written, it is written, it is written. So how do we think that we will accomplish anything in standing without doing it just as he did it?
Amen.
And then he came out in the power of the Spirit. And then it said the devil left him for a season. But praise God. So even the Lord Jesus, the incarnate Word, used the Word. And of course it was, as we know in Deuteronomy, it is written, it is written, it is written. So I just want to try to emphasize, if I can, when he showed me how I had been so careless in the way I treated this body, this temple of the Holy Spirit. I've been bought with a price. I have no right to be careless in the way I treat this body, where it goes, what I do. It took me a long time to recognize this, and I'm just starting to. And when I started to recognize this about remembering the body, and then I said, well, Lord, I've heard people talk about the brethren. And, you know, it says we're justified, sanctified, and glorified. Those progressive threes that we find, the way, the truth, and life, as we know, the milk, the bread, the meat, there's all these through the scriptures. But how? I wish if all of you could tell me, have you seen a lot of the manifestation of the body of Christ? A sister was sharing with us that she was having a difficulty, and somebody called her and said, are you all right? The Lord woke me up last night, and I've been praying for you all night long, and I called others to pray. Now that's body ministry.
Amen.
If one part hurts, then they all hurt.
Hallelujah.
And my heart cries out for this. You know, there's the wheat and the tares, and dear brother here showed us and told us about how you can really see inside if it's dark and black and a tare, a darnel, or if it's a true wheat, a winter wheat, or hard wheat, and all the various kinds of wheat. But, you know, we'd like to think there are no tares. I would love to think that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Jesus told us that the devil did it. He sowed them. So they're there,
mm-hmm.
whether we like the idea or not. And you don't want to say, oh, you're a tare, you know. That's not, we don't know if you're a tare. If you have to look inside to see if that's a dark thing. But Jesus did, he baptized then, it said, with the Holy Ghost and fire. And then he put the wheat in the barn, but he burned up the chaff. So think it not strange of the fiery trial, Peter keeps telling us. Come to the place of embracing it instead of rejecting it. Knowing that it'll make you come forth as pure gold.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what he's seeking, the pure gold. Let the dross come to the top. As I was sitting there yesterday, and oh, our dear brother ministering, I kept somewhere down in here, things were just coming out. I have no idea what they were, and I was so thankful the Lord didn't necessarily need to show me. You know, I just do not feel. But there are times that He showed me very strongly what they were. But I kept, things kept, in the presence of the anointing, they were coming out. That's why He wants us to accept and be a part of His anointed one. As the body, as one spirit, as the anointing that He wants to pour out. It was just in measure, it says. But you know, in the Revelation, it talks about being sealed in the foreheads before the time of the great and terrible day. But we know that He also, you know, Jesus stopped in the middle of His reading Isaiah. He stopped before the day of the vengeance of our God because it wasn't for that day. But it is for this day. And as the sons of God comes forth, they're going to be side by side. And they're going to be lights, like Glenn was saying, dear Annie's vision, that in all this darkness, there was the little cubicles of light. But they, so my heart's crying out for the manifestation of the body of Christ. Many, many, many years ago, I don't remember if it was a dream or vision. It's been that long ago. Because I told you, I think that He started teaching me in Tabernacles back in 68 and 69 when I just had received the baptism and really didn't know anything. As you know, we don't. And if we think we do, we're really in a sad state. But I had this vision of this head on the floor. And it was talking, the eyes were moving, but it couldn't do one thing. And that was when He started showing me. There is a body. He wants His body. Joint coming unto joint for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry. To bring forth the ministry He wants to be brought forth in this day, there has to be the formation of this body in submission to the fivefold ministry. But unless the Lord ordain them and they take it to themselves, it would be horrible. And some of we've seen have done this. And what we need to do is just pray for them because they're deceived. And the great thing about deception is you don't know you're deceived when you're deceived, you know, until the Lord gives you to see that you're deceived. But this ability to submit now, the Lord has worked on me for years about this submission thing because something rose up in me just when they had that submission teaching, you know. It was so bad. We were in Washington, we were still in headquarters of the Marine Corps at that time when all that began. And the principle is right. But what they did with it was so wrong.
That's right.
But the principle of submission is right. And I want to share, especially with you ladies, because he's finally getting me there, I think all the way, that I don't rise up to speed. You know, I told him, I'm so thankful that I didn't have to do and go to war the way he did. I'm so thankful he's cared for me all these years. And I want to do the part that God has ordained for me to do. Because it said it wasn't good for him to be alone. So we also have a part. Now, I don't want to take his part, but I want the men to permit us to take our part.
That's it. That.
Because in the spirit, there's neither male nor female. Now, we know we're different in the physical, but we're not supposed to be living in that dimension anymore as far as the things of the world and the things the Lord has called us to do in the spirit. But I'm thankful. I was in the Marines, too. That's where Speed and I met. I was a control tower operator. And we've been married 55 years, so it took. And I think we can depend on it now. But what I saw the other day on A&E, they had a special on what the women Marines were doing today. And I said to Speed, if that had been then, I would have never joined. They give them the same training as they do the men. Now, so far, the Marines are the only ones that haven't put their women into combat. But that isn't the way the Lord has ordained it to work. But if we can see each group not fighting each other. Because the male is the type of the spirit and the female is the type of the soul. And the Lord wants to be a marriage between our soul and our spirit. And then we will be whole again. He doesn't want this fighting and this division and this hostility. He wants to bring us into wholeness so that we will be of one spirit to praise Him in majesty and glory. Because I know the other night you were saying, I was so blessed with it. Oh, she's going to talk, you know.
Yeah.
And they won't listen. Well, I wouldn't listen if I were speaking out of my soul, man, and I pray I'm not. I wouldn't want to listen either. But I don't want to listen to a man wearing trousers speaking out of his soul, man, either.
That's right.
You know, that can go both ways. It's not an either or, it's an and. But now, I'm saying all that and I haven't gotten to Feast of Tabernacles yet, have I? But as Jesus said, unless a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. So He's bringing forth many sons. I have been meditating a lot on what that means, because I feel the whole creation is groaning the next step for the manifestation of the sons of God. The indwelling, truly. But, you know, as I said, I think there's steps that you have to go through to get that place. Because we don't expect one of these little ones that you blessed this morning, we don't expect one of those little ones to do college calculus. And God does not expect us to do this until we've done that. And He wants us to grow in the grace and the mercy of God. But I have such a feeling of the need to go on now and not stay behind. You know, the butterfly is a great analogy. It's the worm crawling on the ground. All it sees is ground, carnal, natural stuff. Because it's, where can it go? But then it crawls up a tree limb and it goes out and it makes its little chrysalis and it goes through a time of dying to self. Everything's dark and you think sometimes, what's going on, Lord? You know, where have you gone? I'm still here, but where are you? And but then I was reading on this and they said there's actual physical change goes on within the chrysalis, in the worm changing into the butterfly, and it starts to work its way out. And it's sort of like the little chicken and the egg, you know, it pecks on the egg so it can get out. Well, the same principle, I don't know the terminology, the same principle is there as far as the butterfly getting out. And I heard Bob Mumford say one time he tried to help a butterfly. And it died. It just fell because it had not worked its wings. It had not been strengthened by the work it did. So that's what we, but let's believe that we are at least starting to peck our way out of there. Or let's believe that now we are already out and we are in another dimension. And believing that we are in this dimension and that we are truly walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit in all things. Let's no longer go back and say, well, Lord, I see this and see that. I was a great one for looking all the things that weren't, rather than look at all the things that were. Because it's so easy to live in the negative, because that was where you fell into when you fell in the fall. Everything was negative. Now He's pressing us on to look at what is, what He has finished, what is the finished work in the positive. So the I was looking back over some of the types of the feasts in the past, the Feast of Tabernacles. And I think the most awesome one was, technically and historically speaking, was the time of Solomon's Temple. Remember when they had Solomon's Temple and they dedicated it? And they had 120 praisers and worshipers, and the Shekinah became so great they couldn't stand to worship. There's that 120 again. And that they were, that was the one time when all the that it was such a glory. But the thing that has always, through the years, impressed me, that, of course, it's a time of rest at Tabernacles. You come into the rest. As we know, we're in the third day and the seventh day. Therefore, there remaineth a rest of the people of God. And the rest was so great that they actually took the staves out of the ark. They no longer intended to carry the ark. they thought it had come into its place of rest. And so they took the staves out of the ark in Solomon's temple. To me, that was very significant because I had studied the tabernacle of Moses for a lot of years, and the typologies are so rich in there. You could have 20 people and have 20 different and still true typologies of the tabernacle of Moses, but that they carried it. And then remember when David brought the ark back, first they were lowing and mowing these cows, and finally he brought it back God's way, and there it was, it was available to everybody. And they say, James, the tabernacle of David again. So it's available to everybody. The veil was rent when Jesus was crucified. And the veil was rent. And it says in Hebrews, I think, 10, 20, something in there, it was the veil of his flesh. That you could see what was within him. And that's what he wants, to see the light that's in us. John says that in him was life, and it was the light of men. And that life and light is in every man that cometh into the world. And people don't recognize that within us is this light already, this Spirit of Christ. He just wants it like Gideon's army to break the vessel and let the light shine. And that's what he's calling us to be, lights. Amen. We are lights, and he's calling us to be that light, to let our light so shine before men. It, you know, when you get into it, it all clicks into place. This fits into that, and that fits into this, and it's just so exciting when he gives you this little, your little quickening here and there, you know? So there is the peace of rest. Now, when they went came back out of Babylon, and by the way, Speed was reading a lot to me this morning, the things they picked up in Babylon are horrendous. I'm sure you're aware of that. Because he had occasion to work with a Hebrew Jewish doctor when he was in Washington, and something came up one day, and he said, well, I am a Torah Jew. And at that time, we didn't know enough of the difference between a Talmudic Jew and a Torah Jew to really understand what he was saying. But even to the writing of their language now, it changed. They went within one type of writing and they came out with another. So there's reams and reams could be said about that, but I don't want to dwell on that. But I just want to say that this is the truth. But why I'm saying, and an amazing thing, only 50,000 approximately came out of Babylon, all got comfortable, and they stayed there. Now, don't you think that's a type for us not to get comfortable? But we can't get comfortable and just stay. If we do, we're going to miss it. He's moving, and he's moving fast, and he's calling us to follow the light, to follow him. And but what I wanted to bring that out about the rest, when Nehemiah and Ezra were all, you know, Ezra had stood up and he read out of the book, and they were all so blessed. And it was the time of Tabernacles when he read out of the book. And also another thing that so quickened to me, they had to get rid of their strange wives and their strange children.
Oh,
you can't have mixture anymore.
Come on, man.
Now, that's a hard saying. And I'm not saying, I don't know how it interprets. I will say, I'm not sure how it interprets into our walk. But there's something here about mixture. Because the priest's garments, they could not have mixture. They couldn't mix linen and wool. So there can't be any more compromise. There can't be any more mixture. But what I wanted to say, in the book of Haggai, it says, but the latter house shall be greater than the first.
Hallelujah.
And we are the latter house. And it will be greater than Solomon's temple. And we are, as they said, we are the living, the lively stones. I was thinking on that one day, and I have in the past been seen counterfeits of... I was listening to somebody one time. They were talking about Mary Baker Eddy being a counterfeit to healing, and so on. And I was quietly asking the Lord, well, what's the counterfeit to Tabernacles? Well, he told me a group of people that we consider a cult or sect, but they have a lot of truth. And how are we to say? A lot of our denominations have truth, and they have a lot of error, too. But the thing that Oh, thank you. The counterfeit to tabernacles. Thank you. And he's shown me counterfeits all through the line and through the times that I told you about. I think he's going to bring forth his women, not to take man's place, but to take their place, come alongside. So I think that's why the National Organization of Women came out, as a counterfeit of God's truth, a restoration of truth. And the other day I was thinking about this, you know, the cloning of the animals, that sheep. Mm. But hey, we are going to be in the likeness and image of God. We are going to be joint heirs. And the more I think on this, I think, Lord, how far are you going to have us go? If we're in his likeness and image, he's ordained for us to walk that way. He said, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we're joint heirs. I don't want to get in heresy, but I don't want to stop before the fullness of what he's ordained for us to walk in either. And I can see that could be a very fine line here. But it's still truth. We can't ignore that that word is there. So it's a time of rest as they took the out of the ark. And you know now, when you think about that, when they built that, when Nehemiah and they built that temple, they didn't have the ark. And at the time of Jesus, they did not have the ark.
Come on now.
I read one time that they had a stone, and I thought, well, hallelujah, the rock
is
cut out without hands. Now, that's not bad. But they didn't have the ark. But I have understood that there is someone that claims they have found the ark. I don't know that. But, you know, I want to say this on, I read a book, and it was really fascinating. Indiana Jones had nothing on these two men. The one wrote in the first person, the true Mount Sinai, but then there was another one written, the gold of Exodus. I shared this with the ladies when I was here before. And I think his name's Bloomfield. He took their adventure and wrote about it. And truly, Indiana Jones has nothing on them. And they have the pictures, actually, of where the top of the mountain is all black. And when they took one of the stones and broke it open, it was granite on the inside, but it was burned where God came down. And there's the cave there that Elijah went to the cave. There is a causeway going across where they crossed the Red Sea. That was, and they showed him on a causeway stopping hip high. And then you say, well, how could the chariots be, you know, drown or what have you, if it's just hip high? Well, if the water comes rushing back in, it's going to throw them off that narrow causeway. From what I understand, Ron Wyatt has said he's found some chariot wheels and this there. But on either side of this causeway, they found pillars that said, they think that Solomon put them there. This is where they crossed. And they went in and they found the springs and the caves and the, and they found the altar where they show a picture and you see this altar. And then they found the base of the 12 pillars where they put them around so that people wouldn't come that close to it. Well, it was exciting to me. I tell you, I really am. but I said this speed years ago, Father God is so wonderful. For those that need a show and tell, he'll give it to them because he would not have any to perish. So, well, enough of that. But they think they found Noah's Ark, too. I'm sure you've all heard about that. But as I talked, it was a time of unity and a time of joy. The other day I was reading and I saw, and I've seen this, read it, how many times, but the order of Melchizedek, he was the king of righteousness and the king of Salem, of peace. And what is the kingdom of God within you but righteousness, peace, and joy? So there it is. If you have the order of Melchizedek, you have the righteous peace of joy. And he is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And in 110 Psalms, it says, the Lord retains him until everything be put under his feet. And what is death but an enemy to be put under his feet? He's the last enemy. We don't like to think of that, but it's just as true as the rest of the word. And he was starting to restore all things, as we saw talked about. The restoration of that temple and how they had to fight Ezra and Nehemiah when they were building that temple. They had to have work in one hand and a sword in the other. And everybody worked right in front of where they were. Now, that's very important to stay, you know, that our brother Frank was talking about. What our portion is to fulfill the perfect will of God and to bring back total restoration of all things, to bring us into complete. And We are talking about the appearing of Jesus. I so firmly believe that he wants to appear in us. Well, he is in us.
Yes.
He just wants to break forth out of us.
Yes.
When I say that, I have to correct myself, because your old man keeps thinking you've got to have him in you. Well, he's already in you. He wants to come out. You know, and that, and he talks about that living water. Oh, that great day of the feast, remember? Mm. That 21st day, because as we know, the trumpets was the first of the ingathering feast. And that is the third feast has three parts, as we know, the trumpets, the blowing of trumpets. Let's see if I can remember. It was for the journeying of the camps, for war, calling the assembly, and for the feast, when they had the feast. Those were the four times they blew the trumpets. But that was the seventh month, and it's the Feast of Tabernacles is the seventh feast in the seventh month of the religious, but it's the first feast in the secular calendar of the Jews. They had two calendars. But I thought it was so wonderful, the blowing of trumpets. I think we have heard the blowing of trumpets for some time. I think we're in an overlapping of ages. Definitely in an overlapping of ages. Jesus was in the overlapping of ages when grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, but the law came by Moses. So there was an overlapping of the ages. And then 10 days later, and 10 is the time, the number of trial and testing. So 10 days, so think it not strange, from the time of trumpets to the day of atonement, there might be quite a bit of trial and testing. But in the day of atonement, you know, that was when they took the blood in. That was the only time the priest went in, and as you know, he had these pomegranates and these bells on the bottom of his garment, and they put a cord on his leg. So if he was not pleasing to the Lord, they could pull him out if he died. But you know where he went in, it was all glory. It was all light, the Shekinah. And it was the mercy seat. It was no longer a judgment seat. It was a mercy seat. He would have mercy now and not judgment. That's what his call. He wants to show himself loving, the God that we know is a loving God. And we bring on the judgment. The vengeance that it says is mine. It's really, the Septuagint scripture calls it the recompense instead of vengeance. That you will be recompensed with what you have done. In other words, we create almost our own future by what we say out of our mouth and what we do and don't do. Mm-hmm. I can look back and see the things that I did or didn't do brought on the things that happened to me, as I told you. It was very clear to me. Yes. So anyway, but then we know about the scapegoat there, the one that went out and then the one that stayed, and they slew it. And he went in only once a year. And that's the time that they reckoned many things from, is the Day of Atonement, when you're talking, because when Jesus was transfigured and transformed on the Mount of Transfiguration, they used it as their time designating was in relationship to the Day of Atonement. So he was transformed and transfigured the third day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And Moses and Elijah appeared unto him and telling him, as you know. But it was a time when the old Moses was death. He went into the grave. But Elijah was translated. So there you have the resurrection and the life. He's died and went in the grave, but he's going to be resurrected. But Elijah was a type of like Enoch. He was translated. Now, I know that's where the people get their so-called rapture doctrine. But to me, that is the transforming, transfiguring, being born of the Spirit, living in the Spirit realm. You know, they said the third heavens. Well, we know there's other dimensions to be living in, or they wouldn't talk about the third heaven or the seventh heaven if there weren't further dimensions of the Spirit for us to live in. As Paul was in the third, and John, he was caught up. So there is also in John, in the book of the Revelation, another thing that has so quickened me recently is that in Ephesus, the church of Ephesus, of course, he says, I know your works and so forth, but there's one thing I hate, and that's the Nicolaitans. Then by the time you got to Pergamos, it was a doctrine that he hated, so he still hated it. So there's something there that we're going to have to deal with as a body too. A too much mixture, absolutely. They were bringing into the purity what was left over from back there. Now, also when Elijah went up in the chariots, Elisha picked up the mantle and he got a double portion. So let's not forget that. The double portion, he wants us. Jesus said, greater things than these shall you do because I go to the Father. But he said or did nothing but what he heard from the Father. So we cannot do or say anything but what we hear from the Father. And the only way we can do that is to live so closely. He said, I am in you and you are in me, within me. Without me, you can do nothing. You are the branch, I am the vine. There has to be such a closeness there. So I just don't want to stop off. I have prayed. He's been quickening me so about the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And that is Romans 5:5. And I keep saying, oh, Lord, it's you've done it, and you've done it, and you've done it. Now somehow crack me open so that love can flow out. And then, you know, on that last day of the feast, the 8th day, that was the 21st day. And that 3 times 7 is 21. So there you have both of God's numbers, 3 and 7, on the 8th day of the feast. And if speed has brought this out so many times, and if you lay 8 down, it's the sign of affinity. There's no end to what he is and has done and will do through and in us. And as our dear brother yesterday telling us about water to the ankle, what about that rivers of living waters that's going to flow out to us? It's those waters that are going to sweeten the Dead Sea and those polluted rivers. And as he said, we're up to the ankle now. But we're looking for the calf and we're looking the whole way. Waters to swim in. And I want to be one of those that God will permit. The rivers of living water. That healing stream. The tree of life that's going to bring life.
Hallelujah.
And he's looking for fruit in this day. Now, Pentecost was the day of gifts, and thank God for his gifts.
Amen.
But he's looking for fruit now.
Oh, hallelujah.
He's looking for fruit. And I read through those fruits, and I think, oh, my. It seems as though he started with me learning meekness and temperance and faith. It seems as though I'm at this end, going up to that end. But then by faith I say, no, Lord, it's all there because you're there. And it says that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh in Galatians. And it says all the promises of Abraham are for us for this day. And that he who is hung on the tree is overcome the curse of the law. And what you've begun in the flesh, spirit, are you going to complete in the flesh? You know, man always thinks, well, I'm going to help him out. Then he has an Ishmael. And they're still having the battle over there because of the Ishmael. But there's... We were listening, Speed and I, to this dear brother. Oh, he's a precious young man. I mean, he's about the age of our children. I mean, he's a dear young man. But he gave an understanding of if in the days of Noah that we had never seen. Well, there's lots we've never seen. But I mean, this was really... He's two in the field and two in the bed?
Yeah.
He said, one is your beast nature and one is your godly nature.
That's right.
And one shall be
That's
taken
right.
and one be left. And we thought, well, hallelujah. Well, glory to God. I know the one I want taken. But isn't that's a new thought to me. I hadn't had that thought.
Yes, that's a new thought, yes.
I was in the literal two people, you know. Not that the two people, the Adam man and the Christ. God sees only two. He saw Adam and the Lord Jesus the Christ. So we're either in one or the other. And in James, James is a marvelous book. I've suddenly fallen in love with the book of James. Because it starts out to the 12 tribes, and there it is. Every place you go in James, it's like he brings forth a doctrine. There's the Israel message. Then he goes in about thinking not the trial of your faith. There's the whole faith message. Then he goes into wisdom. There's the whole wisdom message. Then he goes into double-mindedness. That's the old man and the new man. Then he talks about the crown of life and being paid through the lust. And it goes on, and you know. And then he says, works without faith without works is dead. And I started going through it, and practically every one of the verses in chapters in James is like a whole doctrinal message.
That's Absolutely.
And because I was saying, Lord, how in the world can you overcome this body of the things of the... And he took me into James, and he brought it out yesterday that you have to, the people that speak have to be doubly careful. And the mouth is able to control the whole body. What you say is what you get, in other words. It just comes right down where the rubber hits the road. Because it says, out of this mouth can't come salt water and sweet.
Right.
And no, and it, if you do this, then you're double-minded, more than double-minded. He says, you're bearing... Yeah. And that scripture in Matthew 7 was really distressed me for years, because Jesus said, the people said, well, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? And Jesus says, begone from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. That troubled me so badly for years. And that double-mindedness, and I said, oh, God, you workers of iniquity, how many have we, how much have I done this way without knowing? And then he starts showing his double-mindedness. And that is the old man and the new man in there fighting. Who's going to control? And we're at the time... Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, Joel says. Now, we know that has many meanings, but really, the one he's quickened to me lately is, you have to make up your mind which tree you're going to eat from. You just can't continue. If when you're a child, yeah, you do lots of things. But he wants us to grow up. He wants us to eat strong meat. He wants us to be part of the Melchizedek priesthood.
That's it.
Because it says, of the tribe of Judah, no priest came, because they came from the tribe of Levi.
Right.
But Jesus is of the another order.
Right.
And that's our order. We are of another order. We are not
that's
of
right.
the old order.
Amen. Right.
So let us be... Oh, Lord God, I keep saying, I don't know how he'll manifest it, but, you know, they came out there, the singers and those Gideon's army with those pots, and they broke the pots, and the light shone, and it scared them all away because they were singing and praising and worshiping God. And let this natural vessel, let whatever is still hold the light that is in us, Jesus, when he, the life in the light, it's when he put light in every man in that first chapter of John. So let us be open to the light. Let it shine forth, Lord. Let your love be a river of living, healing water. And as it goes through us, let it heal our spirit, our soul, and our body. And as our dear brother Frank brought out, I'll tell you when I read that last time I was here, about we can appropriate the blood of Christ to be mingled as transfusion in our blood. The life is in the blood. That hit my spirit so strong. It is there. It is there for us. So let us not stop along the way anywhere.
Ruth,
praise you.
Don't stand on the bank. Jump in the river and swim.
Amen, brother. He said, don't stand on the bank. Jump in the river and swim. I have a dear sister, a prayer partner I've known for many, many years, and she had this, she gets the most marvelous dreams, visions. She came up to the river, a deep river bank, and there were all these people standing up there in their normal garb looking at this river. But she said, I came up, and you know, they show the pictures of bathing suits back in the Victorian era when they were dresses were down here and like this and the hat on. She said, there I was in my bathing suit. But she described it. But she said, I was ready to swim. And I thought, well, hallelujah, she was ready to swim. They all were standing there, clothed in the old garments, looking at it, thinking they wanted to, but they weren't prepared to swim. That brought it to my remembrance, Frank. Thank you. So let us be prepared to swim and jump out into the deep, as our dear brother is telling us. And you know, in Ezekiel, it talks about those dry bones, too. And let bone come to its bone and flesh and flesh. And stand up a great army. That army of Joel, remember?
Yes.
It never looked to right or left. It just went ahead and did what the Lord had ordained him
absolutely
to do. And that's what he's calling us to do. to keep our eyes single unto the Lord, to not to be distracted with earthly things. You can have things as long as you don't let things have you. And I was a great thing person. But by His grace and mercy, they are becoming much less important. But I can think I could get up and walk right out. One thing I saw when we were still in Maryland before Speed was out. He was in Vietnam. And I, you know, when you're doing something that doesn't require any mental stress, you often hear things. I was ironing one of my least liked jobs. And I was ironing, and the thought came to me, just as the people who are born again, and he gave me a denomination, which I won't name, say that the Pentecostals are of Satan, or they had pizza the night before.
Full of pizza.
Full of pizza. Just so, he said, and this is something very important, though. He said, just so shall the Pentecostals and Charismatics say when I start to make my third move. When you talk about, do you remember, Frank, the manifestation of the sons of God, what they
yes.
said? You remember that. And there was a group that claimed they were, and they were way off.
Yep.
And so it threw a stigma. But no matter how much stigma, God is going to have His manifested sons.
Absolutely.
And we are all candidates, aren't we?
Amen. That's right.
So, but I thought, as I told you earlier, when I started meditating on we're in His image and likeness, He calls us sons, we're joint heirs with Christ, you know, you think, well, people will say, you think you're God. No, but I'm a daughter of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus, and I planned, and by grace and faith, to be one of the manifested sons, daughters of God. But we, as I said the other day, are truly blessed. The Lord sends the Spirit. It comes, Ecclesiastes tells us, it comes from the Lord and goes back to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So he told Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. And we are ordained before the foundations of the earth. We're justified, sanctified, and glorified. So let's not stop along the way anywhere. Let's live and move and walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, as Paul tells us.
That's
right. So let's get on our bathing suits and be ready to swim.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Bless you, Lord. But, oh, okay, Dan. Well, Dan gave me said that I should bless the food, so that's a great privilege. Because in this, when I was sharing with the girls, the ladies, when I was here before, oh, there's something else I want to read. Oh, will you forgive me? I want to read this. Okay, Dan. But anyhow, he's quickened me of the importance in this hour and this day of being careful what you eat, because there's so many supplements and things in the food today. Now, this was in, I read this one, the ladies, in February, so bear with me, ladies who were here. But this came out, and it was so wonderful in relationship to the feast about the gestation period of a baby. So let me read this to you. It's $12.99. It was in New Beginnings. A gift from God. The Bible makes it clear that every child is a gift from God. A surprising discovery recently revealed that the biblical feasts parallel the gestation period of a baby. It seems once again the Almighty hid within His Word proof of divine inspiration and a token of His love for children. Now this goes on. First it says the feast, and then it gives the medical fact. So I'll say feast and fact. Feast. In Exodus chapter 12, we find the Passover feast instituted. It was to begin on the 14th day of the first month and repeat each year thereafter. During Passover, the Jews placed an egg symbolizing new life on the Passover table. Medical fact. On the 14th day of the first month, the mother's egg appears. Feast. The Feast of Unleavened Bread must occur the very next night on the 15th day of the month, or the feast process will fail. Medical fact, fertilization of the egg must occur within 24 hours, or the fertilization process will probably fail. Feast. The Feast of First Fruits occurs next on the Sunday during the week of Unleavened Bread. It can be from 2 to 6 days after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and is called the spring planting of seed. Medical fact, the fertilized egg travels down the tube at its own pace, taking somewhere from 2 to 6 days before it implants. This is the planting of the egg. Feast. Pentecost comes 50 days later, and in evangelical circles, celebrates the forming of the church by the Holy Spirit. Medical fact, on the 15th day, the embryo begins to form into a human fetus. Feast, the Day of Atonement is celebrated on the 10th day of the 7th month. Blood is taken into the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. Medical fact, on the 9th day of the 7th month, the production of red blood cells is taken over by the bone marrow, the inner sanctum of the baby's tabernacle. Feast. The Feast of Tabernacle follows on the 15th day of the 7th month. Israelites celebrate God breathing the breath of life into Adam. Medical fact. By the 15th day of the 7th month, the child is capable of breathing air. He or she is a developed tabernacle and can be born. However, to achieve maximum strength, the child should continue to grow inside its mother for another 80 days. It can thereafter be born and dedicated to the Lord. 80 days later is the Feast of Dedication. When I read that the first time, it was so awesome to me. I thought, the Lord, and they say that we just came out of the slime. That we just crawled up on land one day and then just started to fly. Yeah. That is so utterly awesome. And as I said, in relationship to teaching on the feast, I just felt that I wanted to share that marvel with you all.
Thank you so much.
Well, dear Lord, we have been feasting on your word.
Yes.
And you've been with us in such a special way. I am so quickened these days that you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. Heavenly Father, you said you'd come and make your dwelling place within us. And truly we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus said he and the Father would come and dwell within us. And that truly we are changed from glory to glory. And we thank you for that, Father. And now we come and we are going to partake of this physical food. And we want to thank the dear ones that have been so faithful in working in the kitchen. And the wonderful food you've supplied for us. And all these people at this camp that have worked so hard to make this such a special time for us to come and feast and listen to you and hear you and magnify you and give you glory and honor and thanksgiving and praise. We just thank you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Let there be singing, let there be joy, let there be praise in the house of the Lord. Let there be mercy, rejoice, rejoice. We're building together. Let there be singing, let there be joy, let there be praise in the house of the Lord. Let there be mercy, rejoice, rejoice. We're building together a house for the Lord. Let there be singing, hallelujah. Let there be singing, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Let there be praise in the house of the Lord. Let there be mercy. Rejoice, rejoice. We're building together a house for the Lord. Let there be singing. Joy, let there be praise in the house of the Lord. Let there be mercy.
Rejoice, rejoice.
We're building together a house of the Lord. Let's just pray.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.